Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for allowing us to be here today safely, with as little smoke as possible. Be with those that are affected by it, Lord. Lord, and today as we come together to worship you, Lord, may we please be able to hear your message today, because it's a message of yours. Be with me, Lord, as I attempt to speak for you, or at least in my limited way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I will be using notes today. I spent the majority of yesterday rewriting the entire sermon, so that's always fun on a Friday. All right. Well, last time I was here, we talked about marriage, right? The fact that the original parents were clothed in light, God's righteousness, and that they lost that righteousness through sin. Now, we also found out, though, that the good news was that we can get that robe of righteousness back through Jesus Christ. Amen? And before that, the first one was about the family, right? We talked about the family, that it was made in the image of God, and that through sin, it was a broken family, a distorted family, because Satan had a plan. But that God had a better plan to redeem the family by making it so large that the devil himself could not prevail against it. Amen? All right. So what's today's message? What's the title of today's message? Part? Trace? Right? Well, the woman's role. Everybody's favorite sermon that they look forward to hearing. Please pray for your pastor.
So,
yeah. She's much happier. I'm glad you said that, because why am I giving this series, and why did I come to study this? Was it just because I wanted to have a nice series to give to the church? Nice sermon? Huh? So why did I do this? What reason did I give you why I was studying this so in depth? Because I was struggling in my own marriage. I did this out of necessity. Because, brothers and sisters, I wish I could tell you that the first few years of my marriage were always wonderful. They were not. My wife will agree with you. And that is what took me on the journey of studying all of this, because I needed to know. Because, like the sermon says, I thought I knew. Because I had a mother and father that were always loving to each other, at least in front of me, always holding hands, kissing my father would kiss my mother on the front porch every time she'd come home from work, you know, stuff like that. But they neglected to tell me how that works. And so when I got married, I figured, so that happens as a byproduct of being married. Married people know that's not true. Yeah, marriage takes some effort, doesn't it? And it takes, for a healthy, biblical marriage, it takes the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen? So first today we're going to talk about that there's a distinction between men and women before and after sin. And then we're going to have some instructions. And third, we will find an illustration in the Bible. Today we're going to be talking in generalities to get a basic idea of what the woman's role in the marriage and family is. What words did I use? Generalities, right? Basic ideas. So please, when you go home today, don't misquote the pastor about what he says. So, that's what we're going to attempt to do today. So have you ever your first by the way, does everybody have a study guide? If you don't, raise your hand. Somebody will hopefully bring one to you. Okay, so the first question on your study guide is, men and women are... Now, have you ever found yourself having a conversation with somebody of the opposite sex? And as you're listening and nodding politely and smiling, has this thought ever occurred to you that, is this person speaking in tongues? Because nothing they say is making sense to me. Yeah, because men and women are different. That would be your answer to that question. Men and women are different. We think differently, we talk differently, we look different, and we act different. We were designed to be different and complementary. So what was the role of man before sin? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. We'll also probably, we talked about a little of this when I talked about the marriage, right? So where am I? Genesis, not Proverbs. Great scripture reading. Thank you so much for that. Genesis chapter 2, what verse? 15. Thank you for playing along. All right. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it, or to tend it. Some of versions might say. So, what is man? What was the original role of man? More general. The ESV says it probably the best. To work. Remember we taught? Ladies, you forget I told you, make sure that your man has a J-O-B before you get married. Please. So, his original role was to work. So what was the role of the woman before sin? We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 20 and 28. Genesis. We're going to do a lot of scriptures today, so I hope you brought your Bibles. Genesis chapter 2. It's okay to read scripture right on Sabbath in the church. Yes? Okay. Just want to check. Sure. What verses did I say? Eighteen, 20, and 28. Should be right there on your study guide. I think this is the third question. Okay. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm reading. Okay, ready? And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a what? A helpmeet, as the King Jimmy says, or a helpmate, or a helper for him. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found in what? Help meet, helper for him. Verse, let's go down to, scoop down to 28 here. And we'll see what it has to say. There is no 28. Wow. Maybe I'm going to 128 instead. Wow. Thank you for that. I missed that one yesterday as I was typing away. As my keyboard also went out. Satan did not want you to hear this message, obviously. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So what were the roles, or what was the role of the woman before sin? Helper, obviously. What else? Having babies. Having children. That was the original role of the woman in the family and marriage before sin. Now, before you guys, I know I can hear it clickety-clickety-click. this was before sin, right? Everything was perfect. Now, we know nowadays that there are people who cannot have babies, right? We also know there are people who shouldn't have babies. Is that correct? Right. Okay. So, did the roles of men and women change after the fall? So, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. We're going to do 17 and 18 before we do 16. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, that's the Lord, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So, did the role of man change? No. The role of man did not change. He still worked. Only other things changed, right? Let's take a look at the woman. Let's see here. Chapter 3, verse 16. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16 says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So did the role of the woman change? No. She is still to be help her husband and to have offspring. That didn't change after sin. The only thing that changed were people, attitudes, and conditions. Now there was pain involved. There was hardship involved. They still had the same role, but that role was made more difficult. Men still were supposed to work. Women were supposed to have children. However, we do know that not all women after sin could have children. Amen? And we also know some should not, definitely should not have. So, in order to understand part of Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to tackle that all-time wonderful phrase, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over thee. Every woman's favorite verse in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. This is Cain after his offering has been rejected. And the eyes of them both... Whoa. That's not it. That's not 4:7. That's 3:7. 4:7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. This is God talking to Cain. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his what? Desire, same word. And thou shalt do what? Rule over him. So, there's two interesting things going on here. This is the same verbiage, the same phraseology. The word for desire here also means to overtake, to conquer, and to have a craving. After sin, the woman now gets her cues from the man. Since sin entered the world, a man acquires, well, ever since the creation actually, man acquires much of his self-satisfaction from what he does. No matter how small or how large the accomplishment, whether it's opening a jar of pickles, my favorite, or building a house, which I really don't want me building your house. I did that once. I thought that's a whole other illustration for another sermon. But ladies, let me give you a little help. If you didn't know this already, one of the ways to a man's heart are usually through his ego. So when he opens up that jar of pickles and you hand it to him, because you know you could open it yourself, but you hand it to him, you, honey, could you do this for me? I know my wife does that for me. And I go, right? And I hand it back to her. She goes, thank you, honey. I go, I get a little taller. Chest gets a little bigger. That's right. I opened up that jar of pickles all by myself. Right? The week before, our gate, our front gate, was having some difficulties. Couldn't figure out why. And like any normal human being, I put it off as long as possible fixing it. And because the pastor is a great procrastinator. Until he got so aggravated, one day he said, today is the day. Right? And I went out, and I fixed the gate. And all day long, I was like, I fixed the gate, honey. Would you like to try the gate, honey? Because the gate works now. Doesn't it work great? And my daughter would come out and go, sure, did you fix the gate? Oh, yes, I did. Thank you for noticing. I did that. I fulfilled my manly duty for the day. I was very happy with myself. So, ladies, you ever get a chance, men love to hear, good job. All right. Now, a woman's self-satisfaction is linked now to the man and what he does. Now the woman gets her cues from the man, especially his, since the man is the, we're going to talk about this more when we get to the man's role, since the man is now the leader in the home. Men, next time, don't get relaxed. I know you're listening to this, man, and you're going, oh, I can take a nap now. First off, if you want to have a better marriage, listen. Because you need to understand your wife. Right? Or what the Bible wants for your wife, what God wants for your wife. Second of all, don't relax, because next time is your turn. Okay. But it is now also predisposed, she is also predisposed to wanting to usurp the man's role. Now inherent in the woman is the idea, or the since sin has entered the life of every human being, the woman now wants to overtake, to conquer, to want the man's role in the marriage. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Now we're going to go to the instructions. I'm going to read, actually, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 to start off. Titus. That's in the Newer Testament, right? Titus. That's that little book that hopefully you read sometimes. 2, verse 1. It says, but this is Paul writing to his friend Timothy, a nice young pastor. And he says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Paul says, speak that which is sound doctrine. So why am I here today? To speak sound doctrine, to instruct. That's kind of the pastor's job. So, there are instructions. Number one, we're going to find in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Titus chapter 2. In verse 3. Now, in the King Jimmy, it says the aged women. Now, I don't know about you, but men, that's not a word you want to use in a group of women, right? You aged women. No, so, and I'm getting to the old enough to be called aged, so we're just going to use the word mature. Okay, so the mature women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So the very first thing we're going to go is that the woman is to be holy, and then it describes things that are not holy. So if you're doing those things, chances are you're not being holy. Now the word holy also means to be set apart for a holy purpose. So not only is she to be holy, but she needs to understand that being the woman, fulfilling that role, is a calling. Granted, it was a calling that you arrived at through accident of birth, or maybe not accident of birth, because I don't believe in accidents, right? No coincidences, right? God has a plan. So, women, your role in the marriage and the family is a calling from God. Number two, Titus chapter 2, verse 3 says, at the end it says that they are to be teachers of good things, which means you probably shouldn't be teaching bad things, right? Number three, Titus chapter 2, verse 4, we're going to find out what that says. Stick with me. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, it says, to be discreet. Now, the first one is discreet. So the word discreet here in the King James, does anybody else have a different translation? Speak louder because pastor's not only blind but going deaf. Modest. So discreet here actually means, since I find my notes, discreet here actually means, oh, did I miss it? Wow. All right. Just a minute. I think it means... I think my notes got mixed up last night. Just talk amongst yourselves. I think the word means, from my notes, I have sober, which means to be in your right mind. Women, need to be in your right mind. And if you're not sober, are you in your right mind? Are you over? If you're over, and sober here doesn't mean just abstaining from alcohol or drugs. It means overindulging in other things that affect your mind, right? How much, music, anything else? Television, coffee, good one. Which is a drug, by the way, along with black tea. Hanging out with your girlfriends. You must have heard my last message. Hang out less with the girls and more with your husband. Anybody here a foodie other than me? I really like food. I'm so glad God made it taste good. And when my wife does stuff to it, when I smell that in my office, I'm all of a sudden you'll find me standing in the kitchen going, and wife goes, honey, you need something? Well, now that you mention it, right? Food. If you overindulge in food, which I'm very familiar with, that's not always a good thing either, right? Moderate and temperance is moderate. What's the word I'm looking for? Being moderate. Temperance is being moderate in the things that are good for you and abstaining from those things that are harmful to you. Does that make sense? Okay. Being right mind. Number four, Titus chapter 2, verse 4 says that you are to do what? What does it say here? You are supposed to do something with your husbands here. Love your husbands, right? Yep. I'm waiting for my notes to catch up with me because I think I got them in the wrong order. So, Love your husband. Now the word, what do you think the word is here for love? Phileo? Close. So close. Nope. Philandros. Actually, the word for love your husband is one word in Greek. It's philandros. Love your husbands. And love your children. And I like that order that it puts it in because I think that's the correct order. Because a lot of times I hear women say, oh yes, my children. I'm like, your children? Or was those... The last time I heard that it took two people to make a child. I hope things haven't changed dramatically lately. They are our children, right? Took two of you to make them. You might, unless you're like me and your children do something and I go, your daughter... but yeah, sometimes when a woman gets married and has children, she tends sometimes, not none of you of course, but some tend to put their children over their husband. But that's why I like it's in this order, love your husbands, and I like to add the word then, not add into the word of God, but I think that was the purpose in putting it in that order. And the word philandros here actually means, has the connotation, the idea of being a friend. So the best gift, ladies, that you can give to your husbands, and by the way, I know that some of you are not married, some of your children are grown, they're never grown in our eyes, right? And you may not think any of this pertains to you, but let me remind you that you belong to a church family as well, which is universal. Amen? So you have lots of children. Just not lots of husbands. No, we're not. We're don't get our initials mixed up. We're not those people. So, ladies, your husband is not your enemy. Best gift you can give to your children is to be the friend of your husband. Okay, moving on. Love your children. Okay, number 6. That was 4 and 5. This is 6. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. I think I got things mixed up last night when I was sleeping while I was typing. And here I have the word discreet. And that's in the verse before, right? So, not perfect. That's right. Oh, that would be cool, wouldn't it? Discreet, actually, we'll back up. And we'll say, discreet, brothers and sisters, actually means to be self-controlled. Right? That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? And since I also messed up and didn't talk about chaste, which of course is found in 2:4, not 2:5, means to be modest. Shall we park here and walk up your street a little bit? So, ladies, part of your role in marriage and family is to be modest. Now, I understand that many of us may have different definitions of what modest is, but we do have biblical references to that. I'm not going to list them at this moment. Actually, if you look in your 28 fundamental beliefs, I think you'll find a reference to being modest. Now, when I went to university for the first time when I was 53 years old, children stay in school. I thought, especially going to Southern Adventist University, shout out to them, I thought that I was so naive at the age of 53 that I thought the next step from Southern was probably heaven. So, nice conservative sort of university, Seventh-day Adventist. So when I went there, and I was there with my wife, of course, and I noticed something about the ladies in the summertime going to that college. They were not, a lot of them, modest, even though we had a dress code that wasn't enforced that much. I spent a lot of time doing this. Yeah, honey, we'll go this way. Ladies, men don't need more stress than they already have. Please, don't make it hard on us. Please dress modestly. Please behave modestly. Amen? Is that difficult? Can you give us a break? Yes? No? Pastor, how dare you talk about being modest to me and I'm a lady? Well, that's what I'm doing. Because the Bible says it. Now, if you have a, like I said at the very beginning of the series, when inevitably I offend you, I will refer you back to the author of the Bible, who is what? That's God. All right. Number 8, Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Hopefully we're back on the right track. 2, verse 5. Number 8. Because Pastor messed up and put the wrong verses in there. Actually, the word discreet in and chaste are in 2:5. I'm sorry, I was actually correct. It says here, good keepers. I don't know what happened. Something happened. Yeah. I'm trying to find out where this is. Somewhere in here, it says to be keepers at home. Keepers at home. In verse 5, right? Oh, then I got it right. Good. Thank you. I needed that affirmation right now. Thank you so much. Yeah, I wrote that. There are to be keepers at home. And as our... Let's see, does anybody remember our scripture reading? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs, that's in the Old Testament, or the New Testament, not the Newer Testament. Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 1, and it says, every wise woman, what kind of a woman? Every wise, anybody here want to... Other than the men want to be a wise woman? Hey, man, there you go right there. Quick to raise that hand. She builds her house, but the foolish woman does what? She plucks it out down or tears it down with her what? With her very own hands. So the woman here is to be a homemaker, not a homebreaker. Now, I know that's not a popular term right now. Homemaker. Does homemaker mean that you spend all your time at home? No, that would be silly. Are women restricted to only being homemakers, used in the old Western style terminology? No. Does that mean a woman can't go out and get a job? No, of course not. They're not stuck there. So, not a homemaker, but a homebreaker. This actually means that the home is her priority. It is her priority. Number 9, Titus chapter 2, verse 5. This is everybody's favorite, right? At the end. Obedient to your own husbands. And all the women said, amen. Now, the word obedient here is where we get the wonderful word for submission. Right? Now, does it say to be obedient to men? Is that what it says? No. Words mean things. They're very important. Obedient to your own husband. I have a personal testimony about this. So, as you might imagine, so we're in Tennessee. We have moved out of our basement apartment. Praise the Lord. We now can see the sun. So we're in our new place. And our landlord lives in like a micro apartment right off, built onto the house. And I'm in the house vacuuming like a good husband. I like to vacuum. So I'm in there vacuuming. I can't hear anything, right? I'm vacuuming away, and all of a sudden, my wife comes into the house crying hysterically. She's quoting Bible scripture. She's testifying. She's talking to the Lord. So instinctively, I put all those ingredients together and come up with, something's wrong. Right? Very astute of me, I thought. But I can't hear what's going on outside. So I say, honey, calm down. Calm down. Anybody know my wife? Okay. Honey, what's going on? Right? So she tells me, that man out there just told me that I have to obey him. Now, if you know anything about your pastor, there are some things you can do that will get him moving in a hurry. One of those is disrespecting my wife. The other one is making my wife cry. If you make my wife cry, I am not happy. So, I moved fairly quickly, without my brain, out the back door. And I go out. I can see it like it was yesterday. The old man is creeping up on me. And I go out the back door, and I immediately look to my right, and there's a shovel leaning right next to the house. I had good sense to listen to the Holy Spirit and not lift up the shovel and take it with me. And then I saw the man. I mean, this is a man told my wife, right? My wife, that she had to obey him. So I see him a little ways away, standing under a tree, and I notice he's a fairly large man, but I don't care. So I start marching. I'm glad he was standing away, because the whole way I'm marching over to him, God's going, don't. You're in school to be a pastor. What are you doing? Right? So by the time I had arrived to the presence of the other man, I had calmed down considerably. And yes, praise the Lord, I kind of like being a pastor, so that probably wouldn't have worked out that way. So I get there, and long story short, I give him a Bible study on Titus chapter 2, verse 5. And everything's fine, right? So, ladies, you are to be obedient, submit to your own husbands. If somebody comes to you and says, the Bible says, lady, that you have to obey me. First off, please you don't necessarily have to tell your husband right away, because they might react like I did. But you can now give him a Bible study on Titus chapter 2, verse 5. But you probably should tell your husband at some point that some man decided, yeah. I'm so glad the Lord is all-powerful. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, let's look at that. Let's look at the submission is not. So Colossians, that's in the Newer Testament. Colossians, we're going to go to 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians, what chapter? What verse? All right, you guys are right on it. It says here, wives, submit yourselves unto your, what kind of husband? Own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. So ladies, when you're supposed to be submissive to your husband, submit to your husband, obey your husband, right? As it is fit in the Lord. That's that extra little bit that explains stuff, right? So, now if your husband comes to you and goes, honey, I'll tell you what we're going to do. This Friday, we're going to go out at night and we're going to go to the bar. We're going to go out drinking. We're going to go clubbing, right? Take you dancing. Put on that nice dress you have. We're going to go out there and we're going to go dancing, right? And then you know what we're going to do? This is going to be great. We're going to sleep in on Saturday because we know we like to sleep in. And then, instead of going to church, we're actually going to go out shopping. Or we're going to go to the theater and watch that movie that the pastor advised us not to watch. Right? Ladies, are you going to submit to that? Huh? No, right? That should be a resounding no, Pastor. Of course not. Because that's not fit in the Lord. Now, if your husband comes to you and he says, honey, here's what we're going to do. This Friday night, we're probably going to have to stay home because our church doesn't have Vespers, which they did. Right? But what we could do is we could get together when the sun goes down. Even before the sun goes down, we could have family worship. We could get together and sing, talk about the Bible, what's been going on in our week, and how the Lord has shown up as we lived our lives this week. And then we'll turn 3ABN on and watch a little TV. How would that be, dear? Right? And then on Saturday, we're going to get up just a little bit earlier than we usually get up, instead of sleeping in. And we're going to go to, I can't wait, Sabbath school. Right? Won't that be great, honey? Ladies, would you like to submit to a man who does that? Amen? Oh, wow. I was expecting a little more enthusiasm. So, submission is not oppression. If you are married to a Christian husband, you should not have any problem. Now, if you ask my wife, is your husband perfect? She will say, first after she finishes laughing hysterically, she will say, no, but he's a Christian. Do you have a perfect marriage? Again, after she stops laughing hysterically, she will say, no, but I have a Christian marriage. So there you go. So what we have here, the biblical woman is in control of her role. Right? She understands it and she's confident in it. Ladies, you should be confident in your role. I am a Christian woman. This is my role. I understand it. And please don't tell me it's not. Because there's a lot of things being said out there. Am I right? About things like using buzzwords like patriarchy and a lot of other... What? Toxic? Oh, that's my favorite. Like, the next time somebody breaks into your house and a male policeman comes to your house, you're going to go, stop being so toxic! Stop protecting me. That's toxic, that's so toxic. Okay, enough of that. So you should be confident and say, this is my role. Don't let society, don't let society mess you up. And men too, when we get to you, don't let society mess you up. Don't let the media mess you up. Don't let what your best friend mess you up. Don't let what social media say mess you up. Should we stick to the Bible? Amen. All right, so marriage is ... in Titus chapter 2, verse... Yes. Hey, I wrote it last night. What do you want? Titus chapter 2. You don't mind if the pastor is actually a real human being, do you? Am I supposed to, like, float a little above the podium here? Do your homework? I did do my homework. That's why I'm here. Would you like to get up here and do it?
Yes, please. In the name of Jesus, please forgive me for being so rude to my pastor. But I feel I'm a little bit disoriented by the lack of unity and following the outline. We all know that his wife is meant to have a husband, and then Jesus, but there Thank you for jumping on your opportunity to stand in front of the congregation. And I count it a privilege that I stand in your stead. And I'm going to sit down in my stead.
Okay. You know what?
In my stead. Forgive me, brother.
Good job. We're going to get you up here. Man. You did a good job. Thank you very much. So at the end of Titus chapter 2, verse 5, it says here, the reason that you were doing these things is so that the word of God is not blasphemed. Right? Let's go to, which was the next one? Proverbs chapter 31, 23. We all know which one that's, what this is, the Proverbs 31 woman, right? Proverbs, right? Proverbs chapter 31. That's the very last chapter of Proverbs. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Proverbs 31 woman. By the way, when you read Proverbs 31, please don't get all exhausted, because I get exhausted just reading what this woman did. This is over a course of time, not necessarily all in one day. Okay? 31, what verse did I say? 23. Okay, thank you for reminding me. All right. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. That's in the Newer Testament, towards the end. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word, be won by the conversation of the who? Of the wives, right? Ladies, people are watching us out there. Not just you, but your whole family. And since the men and women are usually the adults in the room, people are looking to see what a Christian family looks like. They're looking to see how comfortable you are in your role, how confident you are, and how much you understand it. They're looking to you to see what that looks like, what the woman's role is. If you're not going according to the word, then the word is what? Blasphemed. Right? You've just put your opinions ahead of what the Bible says. Just like people putting their place itself in the place of God. That's called blasphemy, isn't it? And that's what you're doing when you go against the word of God. Men being spoken of in the gates. Men, wives, you have the opportunity to speak well of your husband so that people understand that you are married to a Christian husband who is very comfortable in his role as well and treats you as it is fit in the Lord. Amen? And 1 Peter 3:1 lets us know that what? What did I say? We forget it already? That the husband can be won by the conversation or the behavior of the wife. You have the opportunity, ladies, just because your husband's a Christian and just because he's a Seventh-day Adventist doesn't mean he's totally converted. So you have the wonderful opportunity to help convert your husband through your life. So we say here that marriage is a ministry and a witness. Now we go to the illustration. Proverbs chapter 31. Now, some of you may be saying, oh great, Solomon, another man wanting to give me advice on women. Right? And what does this pastor, by the way, know about my family and how I should act in my family? Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, and we'll find out something interesting here. Proverbs, that's in the, not the newer, but the New Testament. Proverbs chapter 31, back to that in verse what? 1, the very first verse. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that who? His mother taught him. These are not the words of a man. They may have been written by a man, but these are words of a woman. This is a teaching from a woman. So, the home is a woman's blank. 31:27 of Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs now. 31, what verse? 27, good job. All right, 27. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. She's not idle. And she looks to her household. Again, she is a homemaker, not a homebreaker. And my answer to this is, the home is a woman's priority, not her prison. If you read Proverbs about the Proverbs 31 woman, she is doing all kinds of different things over time. Right? She's not idle, so that she's not stuck at home. We already talked about that, didn't we? Absolutely. So you want the good news? We're at the very end. What is the result of a woman fulfilling her biblical role in the marriage and family? Now we're going to go to Proverbs 31:28-31. I'll tell you what, my wife's a lot happier. Our marriage is pretty good now. I think we have a great marriage now. Of course, that's my opinion, not hers. But you should actually go ask her. I welcome you to ask her. You ask her. You feel free. Anybody here to ask you? Now, after she laughs hysterically, no, I'm just kidding. Says here, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have come virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Ladies, you want to hear words like that? Would you like to hear your husband or your significant other say, you just better than every other woman around? They come around, they look virtuous, but honey, you're the best. Right? Says here in verse 30, favor is deceitful. Now that word is not necessarily favor. That actually word means charm. Charm is deceitful. It's a lie. We all know what charm is, don't we, ladies? Men, you should know. Hopefully you're on guard for that sort of thing. Charm used in the wrong hands can be deadly. The difference between flattery and a compliment is flattery is a lie. A compliment is the truth. So, charm is a lie, and beauty is vain. The word there means fleeting, like a vapor. So, beauty can be fleeting. Is it more important to have beauty on the outside or the inside? Yes. I mean, come on. We all know gravity works, right? I am not nearly the specimen of a man I was 40 years ago. I'm much less eager to jump out of the shower and do the Superman pose. Right? Amen? So, beauty is fleeting. But a woman that fears the Lord, a woman who respects the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Ladies, your works are evidence enough. They will announce your coming. People will look at what you have done and said, yeah, she did that. And she did a really good job. And we're going to praise her for that. The good news is that you will be praised now in your home, in the gates, in public, and soon in the gates of heaven. Soon. Because Jesus is coming soon, isn't he? That's the good news. When you hear from the lips of God himself, well done, good and faithful service, enter into the joy of your Lord, that's good news, isn't it? And who's the answer? Who can make all of that happen? Jesus. All right, let's sing our closing song, number 570, Not I But Christ. Should be hurting yourself standing. Not I, but Christ. Is that your prayer, ladies? That should be all of our prayers, shouldn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for allowing us to be here and to worship together and for your message. Lord, help us to take that to heart, not just the women, but the men as well, so we can better understand when it comes to our role, how we should be behaving and doing. So, Lord, we thank you so much for taking the time to explain things to us, to where we can be confident and understand what you are imparting to us. Help us, Lord, to obey you rather than men. In Jesus' name, and in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, amen.